Amen. Go ahead and get your Bible out tonight and let's go to the book of Job. As you know, we are teaching and preaching verse by verse through the book of Job on Sunday nights. And we will be in Job chapter 24. We will just cover one chapter tonight. Job chapter 24. And this is Job's responding. He's responding to Eliphaz's third accusation. And in this chapter, what you and I are going to see is that Job is going to fully agree with his three friends about the punishment of the wicked. And there's going to certainly be some tribulation application to be applied to Job's remarks, as we know that Job is a type of the Jew in the tribulation period. And of course, Job's friends are making the wrong application. What they're saying about the wicked is right, but they're making the wrong application by claiming that Job is a wicked man when he, in fact, is a very righteous man. And so you can have the right information about some things that these three fellas do often, all through when they are speaking their part. They have a lot of good information, but they're making the wrong application with it. So we have to be careful about that. But tonight, we are going to learn something about the wicked. We're going to learn how the wicked does and how the wicked thrives. And it appears that they thrive and appears that they're just going ahead. And that's what it looks like nowadays, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like the wicked just overtake him? But the Bible warned us of that. It said in the last days, perilous times are going to come. And brother, we are seeing them. But we need to understand some things about the destiny of the wicked. They are here for a short time. They do their thing. And when they leave this earth, they're finished. And you and I need to keep a straight course. The Bible says, when sinners entice us, consent thou not. We are to stay on the straight path tonight. Amen. All the way until we meet the Lord, either in the air or by death. So before we get started here tonight, I want us to bow our head and close our eyes. And we'll pray and get this thing going here tonight. Brother Mark Brown, would you pray for the Bible study? And then we'll get going.
Lord, we thank you that we come and start here what you say in your word.
Yes, Lord.
I do pray and ask, Lord, to give Brother Kenneth some words, to give him liberty. Lord, I pray that you give us ears to hear.
Yes.
Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us.
Yes, Lord.
We'll give you glory, honor, and praise for it all.
Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Job's question is, let me read it again right. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they know him? Do they that know him not see his day? In other words, Job's question is this. Why doesn't God just go ahead and kill the wicked? They know him not, the people that they don't know. And instead of letting them continue to live day after day after day. Any of you ever thought about that? Why so many good people go home and the wicked stay around? Well, obviously, Job's thinking this, but it's because God's a merciful God. But don't you ever forget that God's going to take care of it all. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment, to be punished." So that's the problem. We're all looking at it here on this earth. But listen, folks, things aren't settled on the earth. They're settled in the afterlife. And then when you get to verses 2 through 16 in this chapter, verses 2 through 16 is a description of the works and the ways of the wicked. And I want you to notice how much of this describes modern-day America tonight, okay? As we begin to look at the works and the ways of the wicked tonight, much of this describes modern-day America. Notice verse number 2. "Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof." So what the thing is there, he's saying, look, they tear down a man's fence and they steal his cattle. and they feed, and the feed for the cattle. And if you come up on him while he's stealing your cattle, he will kill you. And if you kill him when you come up on him for stealing your cattle, then you'll go to prison for murder. Ain't that about it? That's how it is here in America. And he says he violently does it. Listen, I don't know how often you hear the Memphis news, but we live near a violent city. Violence, violence continually. That's all you hear about. I heard the other day where a 60-year-old man died after or because of a fight that took place at a middle school basketball game. Now that's our country, overridden with violence. A middle school basketball game. They all get on the court, parents and all, acting up, fussing and fighting, and the man dies as a result of it. There's something wrong. He said, don't remove the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Proverbs 22:28. Now that's talking about the literal landmarks, and this Pat Job is that separate a man's land going on his land. But there's some spiritual application about that too. We have had some forefathers that come along that have set some landmarks and some things that they believe and some right direction they're going. And now's not the time to give it up. Now's the time just to dig it in a little bit deeper. If nothing else, let's say, you know, my forefathers put two stones up here. I'm going to add a third one. I'm going to have it settled that this is where we're going. Nobody's going to have any doubt about what I believe and where we stand and how we face life. We face it on the side of Jesus Christ, lifting up the King James Bible as the precious word of God. Nobody should have any doubt. Again, I'm not talking about being belligerent and mean-spirited and obnoxious, but just taking your stand. Verse number 3, they drive away the ass of the fatherless. We were talking about asses in the Bible this morning in Sunday school. It says, they drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They're heartless. They steal from those without a father or a husband. And they take the widow's ox for a pledge, stealing from a widow woman. But listen, that is what the wickedness in this country is doing. All these, all this computer stuff they're doing to scam people out of their money. They're caught. Listen, how many people are calling older people trying to get them to give them their credit card information or something like that? That's going on all over this country. People don't care. They don't care that these women and men are on fixed incomes. They just, all they want to do is steal from them and hurt them. There's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this country. They're just up to mischief, trying to steal from somebody. Over the computer, over the phone. And we think that somehow we're going to escape the judgment of God. You know what that Bible says? That Bible says a nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. You say, where is the United States of America going? Straight to hell. I'm glad I'm an American too. I'm glad I was born here. I praise the Lord for it. I thank God for men in our church that fought for our country. I believe in it. I appreciate it. But that Bible's still right. And it includes America. America's going straight to hell because we've forgotten our God. Our city is overran. Our cities in America and in the major cities in this country, it's overran with violence and wickedness. God's not going to just sit up there and wink at it. One day he's going to come down. He's going to judge us for it. Verse number 4. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. I think this is some tribulation application. People in the tribulation period who resist the mark will be poor. And you have to know that. If you resist the mark, you're not going to have any money. The folks that wind up with the money in the tribulation period are following the beast. Now, for us, an application right now is we have these liberal politicians nowadays. They act like they care about the poor, don't they? Always talking about the poor, helping the poor. Why don't some of these big daddy politicians, I have a suggestion for you, Mr. Liberal, that's always worried about the poor. Put this out live. Why don't you sell your $2.5 million house and move to the ghetto and start up a soup kitchen out of your house? You ain't going to do it because you don't care about the poor. That's exactly right. They don't care about the poor. You know what they want? They want you to care about the poor. Amen. That's not these people that teach that you can lose your salvation. Have you ever noticed that people that teach you can lose your salvation mean you can lose your salvation? Ain't none of them ever lost theirs. You see that thing Jimmy Swagger done twice, and he never lost his salvation. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Hooking up with a prostitute, if that won't take your salvation away, I don't know what will. But apparently he didn't lose his, but you can lose yours. You know that, how I got you. I know how that goes. Tell me one of those holiness and one of those Pentecostals that ever said, I lost my salvation. They're always talking about us Baptists that believe in eternal security, how are you going to send yours away? Stinking hypocrites. Everybody all right tonight? You should be, oh, now, Brother Dennis, just be nice. I'm not going to be nice about somebody running around in false doctrine trying to get you to believe you're lost again. I'm not going to be nice about that at all, because once they get you believing you can be lost again, you are ineffective for Christ. Not going to do anything for them. Behold, as wild asses in the desert go, they forth to their work, rise and be times for a prey. The wilderness yieldeth the food for them and for their children. Wicked, the wicked is compared to a wild ass who's out of control, no authority, recklessly doing as they please. And they, you know, this deal right here where it talks about forth their work, rise and be time. They're getting up early in the morning seeking a prey, seeking somebody they can take over and or somebody they can hurt and get something for nothing. They feed their children from the wilderness where they roam. You know what we got going on in this country now? We got a big problem with package stealers. Have you heard about that thing that's going on in America right now, where the UPS or the FedEx drops off a package on your porch, and people are driving by and waiting until you're gone and stealing it? How many of you are aware that that's a big problem in this country right now? So what's going on now is people booby-trapping the packages and got cameras out there on the porch. But what will happen is if some sucker runs up there and steals that package, that thing were to blow up and mess them up a little bit, they'd put you in jail. As Lester Roloff said years ago, America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. Verse number six. They reap everyone his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. Wicked is compared to a wild ass, like I said. Verse number five. Let's see. Did I skip verse number four? Is that what I did? Or did I? Yeah. I think I did. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together. Anyway, I'm sorry. I got confused here. Let's go on to verse number six. They reap everyone his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. The wicked force others to gather in the field, not their own. I think that may have some tribulation aspect to it during the tribulation period, because food is going to be scarce, and the wicked is going to eat and take from others. You know what I heard a preacher say one time? He said this. He said, back in the 30s when the Depression hit, people jumped out of the windows and killed themselves. He said, now when we ever have a Depression again, they're going to kill you and take your stuff. Verses 7 through 11. Notice what it said. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, they that have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of a shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing. They take away the sheaf from the hungry, which make oil within their walls and tread their wine presses and suffer thirst. The wicked do not care if you have adequate clothing to survive and the cold, and they will be glad to put you in a cave. Now, there's a rock there for the tribulation period, going over there to that city Petra during the Great Tribulation. There's a tribulation application there. But the abuse to the poor that is mentioned here is applied to any period of time, I believe, but it will especially be applicable to those in the tribulation period, those tribulation saints that cannot have riches and salvation at the same time, because you cannot take the mark of the beast. The rich wicked have the oil and the wine, but could care less if the poor of the world lack. You read about that over there in Revelation chapter 13, where you can't buy or sell without the mark, and talking about those passages also over there in Revelation about hurt not the wine, hurt not the oil, and all that, because people are not going to have it. If you stay righteous, you're going to go hungry. So let me tell you this. If you won't get saved right now, what makes you think you're going to miss the rapture and get in when you got babies starving to death? Now is as good as it gets, folks. If there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, I pray you will be. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. Again, our major cities in America are horrible, like L.A. and New York City and Chicago and Atlanta and Memphis. During the tribulation period, those in the city may have a little bit of a tougher time than those in the country, it looks like. The wounded are spoken of nightly on the news. Any of you ever watch the news? And it looks like what you get from that is that God lays not their folly to them. He just lets them continue in their wickedness and wounding people and hurting people and destroying lives. Well, he does for a while. For a while. But then he's going to do something about it. I want you to get that tonight, folks. He's not going to put up with this forever, okay? He's just not going to put up with it forever. Verse number 13, they are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the way thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. That's the wicked. Rebellion is the wicked's problem. And here in America, we're full of rebellion. Anti-police, anti-God, anti-government. They don't know the ways of God. They don't walk in the righteous paths of God because they have rebelled against the light. And like the old preacher said years ago, light rejected turns into lightning. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And what we have here is we have a country full of people that hate the light. And that's a characteristic of the wicked. They hate the light. They hate the truth. And they'll hate you for believing and telling the truth. You know that? They'll hate you for believing and telling the truth. There are those that rebel against the light. Number 14 and 15. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. The murderer and the thief is Satan here, although it can be any evil person. But John 8:44 tells you that the devil is a liar. And he's a murderer. And he tells you also in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. And the idea he's saying there is he kills during the day and steals at night. More and more killings right in front of people now, though. It's in the daylight, isn't it? We got these school shootings and these mass shootings and these gang-related shootings. It's just violence out in the daylight now. Listen, we live in a dangerous world and time right now. I hope you understand how dangerous it is. And I'm not talking in the big city. I'm talking about right here in Dyersburg. Because the wicked are overtaking this world. But just hold on, because we're going to see they're not going to overtake it forever. But they got it right now. Listen, who is the God of this world? It's the devil. He's running this thing. His spiritual powers are running this thing. And his people are running this thing. And we just have to know that. And reminds me of Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Amen. Amen. Mentions three sins that are characteristics of city life in these few verses. And that's murder, adultery, and robbery. Murder, adultery, and robbery. All of our big cities, that's what you got. But you know something? It's getting in our smaller cities. And this is certainly true for the average American city. And like I said, even the small ones, Dyersburg's getting dangerous. Maybe it's been dangerous for a while. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime, for they know not the light. The wicked scope out the place, and they plan their evil in the daytime, and then they execute their evil plan under the cover of darkness. That's what we have. People here in America scheming these evil plots and then taking them out under the cover of darkness. But now they're so out there, now they're so emboldened, they'll do it in the daylight. Verses 17 and 18, for the morning is to them even as a shadow of death. If one knows them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. He is swift as the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the ways of the vineyards. Now this shadow of death looks like it's possibly a literal shadow. that will pass over and kill all that are under it in the tribulation period. Now that he there of verse number 18 is a reference back to the shadow of death you see there in verse number 17. The people in the tribulation are going to be in terror, fearing for their lives. But how about people living here in America today? Let's make a practical application right now. It's much scarier now and dire burden to be after dark than it's ever been. You know, there's some gas stations right now. There's a few different gas stations. I'm not going to name them, but there's a few different gas stations. But I told my wife she cannot go to get gas by herself at night. I don't feel that she'll be safe there. I'm not talking about over the yonder in Memphis or Los Angeles or Chicago. I'm talking about right here in Dyersburg, man. Listen, the wickedness is just engulfing this place. And you know what the Bible says? It's par for the course. It's going to happen. It's going to continue to get worse. And it looks like they're winning. But there's a judgment day coming, church. There's a judgment day coming. Verse number 19. Drought and heat consume the snow waters, so doth the grave those which have sinned. Just like the drought and hot weather dry the waters, the grave sucks up the wicked when they rot. And I'm going to tell you something. The grave is going to have its last say over the sinful. Listen to me. When the wicked die, the grave wins. But when the righteous die, remember what Paul said, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? There's no sting for the righteous. The grave is not over. The grave isn't where it stops for us. It's like that other old gospel song, ain't no grave going to hold me down. Amen. And I believe that, thank God. I believe no grave is going to hold me down. And verse number 20, the womb shall forget him, the worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. How about that? This is where the wicked will wind up one day. How's that, Brother Dennis? Forgotten, broken, the worms are going to feast on his body in the grave. The fires of hell will burn his everlasting soul. This is a reference also, I believe, to the devil being broken as a tree when you read over there about the out of the passage, Ezekiel chapter 31. We won't go there tonight. But that's the wicked is not going to be remembered. Psalm 37, 36, yet he passeth away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. I want to remind you of something. All these stupid, wicked rock stars and ball players and everybody that's so popular right now, everybody wants to cut their hair like them and dress like them and have posters. I guess, do people still have posters? I don't know. Back in my day and time, you put posters on the wall. I don't know if they still do that or not. But they want to do things like them and be like them and dress and act like them. And they're so popular. They're over all the TV. They're setting the trends and all that stuff. Do you know what that Bible says about that wicked bunch? That Bible says that there is coming a day when they'll be forgotten and nobody will even know they existed. And while they're a forgotten memory and they'll leave nothing lasting in eternity or on this earth, they'll be down there in hell burning forever. That is what happens to the wicked. That is what happens to the lost. There's coming a day where they are not going to be making the headlines. Up in heaven, nobody cares about who could run a football 50 yards and put an end zone. Up in heaven, nobody cares about who made money selling rock music, talking about the devil and sex. Nobody cares about that up in heaven. Only this wicked world cares about that. But there's coming a day when they'll be forgotten, not remembered, not even brought up. Won't mean a thing. Won't mean a thing up in glory. You know who's going to be remembered forever and ever? Our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him up there. Amen. He evil entreateth the barren that beareth not and doeth not good to the widow. Again, he's mistreating the widow. And this is a tribulation application because in James chapter 1, verse number 27, it talks about taking care of the fatherless and the widows and their affliction. And of course, practically for us, we ought to take care of the widows in our church and be as good to them as we can and help them. But there's a tribulation application in this too. And what you have here is evil people bothering folks that are like down. Like if you have a widow lady or somebody that's barren, as it talks about in this verse. These are people that need extra help. These are people that need extra care. You know what it's like? It's like people are going to be so wicked and are so wicked, they pick on people that are defenseless. They pick on people that's already down. They pick on people that won't be so hard, and they don't even care. Have you seen this thing also that's going on in this country where people are walking up to folks and these older people and just knocking them down, and a bunch of them beating them and then recording them? Just trying to knock down older people and rob them, and they think it's funny. They think it's some kind of something. We live in a sick world, folks. But that's how wicked are. And listen, we got a few years left. I don't know how many, but it ain't going to get no better. Do you know that? It's going to get more and more and more wicked. More and more wicked. Verse number 22. He draweth also the mighty with his power. He riseth up, and no man is sure of life. Tribulation reference. He riseth up. That's talking about the Antichrist, I believe, in the tribulation period. No man is sure of his life, because death is waiting for the righteous who refuse to mark in the tribulation period. And death is waiting for the unrighteous. They're going to be killed by war, plagues, and famine when you read about that over there in the book of Revelation. And that's what's going on with us. Right now, we're in a world where it doesn't matter if you're righteous or unrighteous. With all this COVID and cancer and stuff. Listen, folks, we are living in some bad times. And I'm going to tell you here in a moment when I get to the end of this, I'm telling you all about the evil, all about how evil people are going to be, all about how it's going to be in the tribulation period. Thank God we won't be here for that. All the stuff that it's doing right now. But I'm going to tell you why I'm going through this. I'm going to tell you why it's important to listen to Job as he tells you about the wicked and what they're trying to do and what they're going to do and how we make that application to us as Christians. Though it be given him to be in safety whereon he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their ways. The Antichrist as a sinner will be in safety and seem to prosper and have free reign to do evil. But don't you ever forget, somebody's watching him and somebody's watching you. When I was a teenager in the 80s, there was a rock song that come out. I always feel like somebody's watching me. Anybody in here in their 40s or 50s, you remember that song? Well, it's a fella going through there singing about paranoia is what he's doing. I always feel like somebody's watching me. Any of you ever heard that? You old sinner. Amen. He's talking about paranoia. Well, I'm not talking about paranoia tonight, but I am talking about a holy God that sees everything. All right, Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There is somebody that's always watching us, and nothing gets past him. Verse number 24, they are exalted for, listen, a little while. That's what you have to remember about the wicked here tonight. They're exalted for a little while, but are gone and brought low. They're taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. Here it is, folks. The wicked will have their time, and then when God says it is enough, it's going to come to a screeching halt. They only have a little while, the Bible says there in that verse, 70 to 100 years at the most, or around that, and then God cuts them off. They're going to be taken out. They're going to be gone. They're going to be brought low. They're going to be taken out of the way as all other. All wicked go the same way. They go down. And God's going to cut them down as easily as my granny used to cut the tops off ears of corn. You see that? If you read that right there? As the tops off the ears of corn. I've seen my granny many a time. Oh, it brings up such a good memory. She'd have her little apron on and old knee-high stocking things on. And we'd go out and pull all that corn, and she'd get it. And she'd take that grater and that knife thing, and she'd cut all that corn off and cut it off and drain that juice in that bowl. And then she'd take that corn and put it in a skillet, in a cast iron. There you go, cast iron skillet. Yes, sir. She put that corn in that cast iron skillet. And I don't know what all she put in, butter, maybe some milk, maybe salt and pepper, and stick that thing in the oven, and then that corn gets a crusty top on it. in that oven. Any of you know what I'm talking about? And cook that corn and pull that corn out, and whoo, it is wonderful, man. And my granny was 4'11" on a good day. She had little arthritic hands. She'd cut that corn, and I was like, man, I can't wait till she cooks this stuff. But you know what she did many a time? Boy, that's a beautiful ear of corn there. Next. That's exactly how God's going to do the wicked. He's going to cut you off and throw you away and take all those old corn shucks and put it out there in the hog pen. Let them trample it and eat it. That's all you're worth to them if you're wicked. You die without Christ. That's all you're worth to them. See, he showed you his love back over 2,000 years ago on the cross. If you die without Christ, you don't die in his love. You die in his wrath. That's why he eternally separates you in a place called hell forever and ever and ever. And listen, verse number 25, final verse tonight. And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth? After 24 verses, he gets down to 25. Job says, nobody's going to make me a liar. I just told you the truth. Because the wicked prosper now, but because the wicked prosper now, that means nothing. God is going to settle their account later. In the tribulation, God's going to destroy the great whore. He's going to destroy the devil. He's going to destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet. He's going to destroy the 200 million man army and everybody else that gets in his path on that second advent. And listen, this is what I want you to remember tonight. Please listen to this as we get ready to close. You cannot look at things the way they are right now and read anything into it. You have to stay with this book. I'm reminded of something the doctor said one time. He said, I think I read it in his commentary. But he said this, he said there was this rich, godless farmer bragging about his crops, and he was bragging about it to this preacher. And he said, boy, here it is. I made a bumper crop. I've got all my things settled. He said, here it is. It's October, and I made this great living, and I've got all of my bills and all my accounts settled. He said, and I don't go to church, and I don't believe in God. I don't do none of that. And he said, look to that preacher. He said, what do you think about that preacher? And that preacher just looked at him and said, well, God doesn't settle accounts in October. Amen. Listen to me. God doesn't settle accounts down here. Things are not going to wind up like they look like. And you and I that are doing right and doing righteous and trying to stay on the right path and trying to do the right thing, don't you think we're being put down in the dust and being left behind? No. As R.G. Lee, that great preacher that preached so many years, only an hour and a half from here, that great preacher, his most famous sermon, Payday Someday. And there's a payday someday for everybody. And we have to remember that. Because if you don't, you get to thinking, man, what in the world am I doing? I'm trying to do right, and they're prospering, and I'm not. You know what that is? You know what makes you think that? You've been listening to too much Joyce Myers and Benny Hinn. That's the problem. We don't get ours now. We get ours in the next life. So the conclusion is, the sinner, listen to me tonight, the sinner has a definite end, and it doesn't matter how it looks now. The practical admonition tonight for us is to stay right with God. Listen, church, again, do not let the world influence you, influence your home, or influence this church. God is going to judge the wicked, and he is going to reward the righteous. Do you believe that? We are closing in on the end. Do not give into the spirit of this world. Keep on the firing line. Be deceived by the prosperity of the wicked. It will come to an end. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. I sure feel like it was a poor effort tonight. I'm tired and my thoughts were awfully jumbled tonight. And that's okay, because most of the time they're not. Most of the time it's real smooth up here. So every once in a while you remind me of who it is that helps me. So I thank you for that. But I pray it wasn't so jumbled that the people didn't get something out of it. So I pray you minister the Word of God. It's not about me anyway. It's about that Word. And I pray you teach us something through this chapter. What's going to happen to the wicked? Help us not to get to thinking that, oh boy, they're doing what they want and they're all right. They're not going to answer for it. That's not true. That's not true. Help us to know that you're going to make it worthwhile for us one day to do right, to stay right, and to keep on the right path. Help us. Help us. Help us to do it. Help us not to give in to the temptations of this world, the spirit of this world. Help us to stay right for you. And we ask this in your name tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. 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 Amen.